Please turn in God's Word to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is found on page 1117. Here we find the Lord's Prayer. So let's read God's Word. Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Well, during World War II, there were many posters that were put up to encourage people who were not on the front line of the war to see themselves as being on the home front, that they were also at war. So the comfort and the security of home life, it should not delude them to forget that they are at war. And so you had posters that said, "We can do it," or "Defend American freedom. It's everyone's job." "Loose lips sink ships." "Dig on for victory." "Food is a weapon. Don't waste it." And probably my favorite, "When you ride alone, you ride with Hitler. Join a car sharing club today." That'd be a good one for today as well. Well, often we forget that we are in a battle. We are at war. Not with Nazi Germany, but with the evil one. And so we come today to the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. So remember, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer, a prayer that teaches us how to pray. And last time we noticed how we are to pray for forgiveness of our sins. Well, this evening you're to pray that you would not fall when you're tempted to sin. And so I want you to notice that you are to pray for God's deliverance from temptation, knowing that Christ did not give in to temptation. And so it is in him that you triumph over the evil one. And children, I encourage you to draw a picture of you facing temptation. You're tempted to do something wrong, and maybe your mom or dad told you, "Do not eat any of the cookies," but you really want to. Well, in that moment, you are to pray to God to deliver you. So firstly, let's consider, in God's sovereignty, he allows you to be tempted. So God is sovereign. He is in complete control. And that's why we pray to God not to lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this maybe sounds confusing. Surely God is holy. It is impossible for him to tempt us to sin. And the book of James clearly states that God does not tempt anyone. James 1, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." While God is not behind the temptation, he allows it. Well, who is behind them? Well, James says that these desires come from within. Within each one of us, we have a sinful nature that desires to sin. This sinful nature makes us focus on ourselves, and so we are determined to have what we want, and we're even willing to sin to get it. But temptation also comes from outside of us. From the evil one, from Satan. The Lord's Prayer points to that fact when it says, "Deliver us from evil, from the evil one." And so Satan is actively tempting us to sin. And then finally, we live in this fallen world. The world and its values are against God, and it's actively tempting us to conform to its own values. And these are what causes the temptations that we are battling with. But we must acknowledge that God does permit temptation to happen in our lives, Otherwise, God would not be in control. And each one of us can testify of that. We are tempted every day. We're tempted to get angry. We're tempted to lust. We're tempted to tell a lie. And these temptations, they happen frequently. God is in control. He allows temptations to occur in our life. And this is most evident in the life of Job. Job was tempted by Satan, and yet we read of a discussion between God and Satan. Satan believes that Job only trusts God because God has been good to him. God has blessed him with a huge wealth, with a family, with a good reputation. Without this, Satan believes that Job would hate God. And so God allows Satan to put Job to the test and to prove that he's wrong about Job, that Job did trust God, no matter if he had much or little. But we also read that God put limits on what Satan could do in regards to tempting Job. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. And so Satan was allowed to take all away from Job, but he was not allowed to take Job's life. He was limited by God. And so Satan can only work within God's restrictions. So God is in control. He allows you to face temptations. But then secondly, notice God our Father will not allow you to be overwhelmed by temptation. So because God is in complete control, that is why you pray to God not to lead us into temptation, that he would free you from this trial or this difficulty, that we would not be tempted at all. And you hear some people who once were completely addicted to gambling or to alcohol or to pornography, and they leave it, never to have that temptation again. While for others, they continue to be besetting sins, or as the Puritans describe them, darling sins, sins that are always a temptation in our lives. Well, naturally, we ask the question, why does God allow us to be tempted at all? Surely it'd be much easier not to be tempted. Well, don't forget that temptation in and of itself is not wrong. It's when we give in to temptation, that is when we sin. But the actual fact of facing temptation, there isn't anything wrong in that. Facing temptation is a result of living in this fallen and sinful world. But we must remember that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And we read of this in 1 Corinthians 10, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." When you're tempted, remember, God provides you a way out. And isn't that a huge encouragement? Whatever temptation that we have to face, you don't have to give into it. There will never be a temptation that is too strong for us to bear. God is in control. He won't allow it. Remember who God is. He is our Heavenly Father. He loves you. He cares for you. He doesn't put you through trials and temptations for no reason. No, he has a purpose. So as we read, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." You must trust him. This is part of his will for you. Don't respond in despair. Don't respond with anger. No, God is faithful. He is your Father. And this prayer request, "Lead us not into temptation," is better understood to be a prayer asking God to not let us be led into a temptation that would overwhelm us. You're reminding yourself of God's faithfulness, of his provision, that you're safe, that you are secure. You will never find yourself in a position where you are overwhelmed. Now, you might feel overwhelmed, but you're not to let your feelings dictate to you. The truth is, there is strength to overcome, to Too often we look to God for a way out. In hardship, we look for escape. Often God doesn't give us an escape, but he does give you the strength so you can endure it, so you can get through it. So trust God your Father. He will not allow you to be overwhelmed by temptation. Well, then thirdly, your problem is when you look to yourself to overcome temptation. So we need to be honest when we face temptation. We need to see our own limitations. If it was down to us, we would fall. We would give in. We need to see our own weaknesses. Our problem is that we are too overly confident in ourselves. We see ourselves as strong. We put ourselves in dangerous places of temptation, thinking, I will never fall. But just imagine that you had a job that is particularly dangerous. Maybe you're working with chemicals or flammable liquids. Well, you'd be very careful to do everything correctly. You'd check all your equipment. You'd check the valves. You would check the gauges. But imagine after a while you got overly familiar. And so there's a temptation to become overly confident in your ability. You think, I know better. I don't need to be so careful in my work. I don't need to do all these checks. Well, the outcome could be disastrous. And that's like us spiritually. We become complacent. We become relaxed, thinking that I'll be okay. But before we know it, we're not okay. We're tempted, and we're not prepared. And so we're all the more ready then to give in to the temptation. And don't we see this over and over again? Men and women who have great reputations in the Christian world, and yet they throw it all away by giving in to temptation. It's often over something very trivial, but yet it becomes devastating. And the Bible, too, shows us examples of men and women devoted to God, and yet they fall. Jesus' disciples are a case in point. They even boasted that they would never forsake Christ. Peter said that he was ready to die for Christ than forsake him. A few hours later, Peter forsakes him. Overconfidence is one problem in facing temptation. The opposite problem is to overconfidence is that of fear. When temptation comes, we are afraid. And so we quickly give in. We're afraid to make a stand, resulting in us quickly giving in to temptation. In the wilderness, the Israelites were tested. Would they trust God to provide, or would they grow fearful of their hunger and so give in to temptation and doubt God? And in doubting God, we read of them complaining and being discontent. Tim Challice writes, every test is an invitation to grow in your faith and draw closer to God. Every temptation is an invitation to weaken your faith and push God away. And you face that battle every day. The tricky thing is that the very same circumstances that bring us great blessing also tend to bring us sore temptation. Is this a test or a temptation? It may be both. And so are we so afraid of pain or discomfort or embarrassment that we are quickly defeated by the tests, and so give in to temptation? And praying this prayer is acknowledging that we need God's deliverance, that we can't stop depending on God and the grace that he gives to us. That's why Jesus tells us to watch and pray so we do not give into temptation. We always must be on the alert. Every day we're tempted to sin. These temptations, these trials help us to rely on God and not on ourselves. They help us to see that we are weak, but they also help us to see that God is strong, and he gives us the strength that we need to get through it. So see temptations as opportunities to test your faith and see that it's genuine. Temptation teaches us that we're weak, but when you put your faith in God, you're strong. And so God is allowing these temptations for your good. They force you to rely on him for grace and not on yourselves. Well, fourthly, you are to battle with temptation. So when we pray this prayer, you have to put it into action. Like all the prayer requests in the Lord's Prayer, you help answer your own prayers. You can't simply pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," and then not apply it to your lives. When temptation comes and you pray to God to deliver you from it, well, remember that there is no temptation stronger than what you can handle. Remember that God gives you strength. And so you must battle your way through the temptation. And one way to battle temptation is to avoid putting yourself in places where you will struggle to stand up to temptation. So if you struggle with a particular sin, try not to make it easier for yourself to fall into that sin. If you struggle with pornography on the internet, use a filter that will stop you from getting on pornographic sites. If you struggle with spending too much money on things you don't need, then limit yourself on how much money you can spend each week. If you find that you waste a lot of time on Facebook or watching TV, then limit the time you spend watching TV or internet browsing. If you struggle with alcohol, don't put yourself in an environment surrounded by drink. And instead, you must surround yourself with people who you can be accountable to. So in battling temptation, try to prevent it being so easy then to give in to the temptation. One proverb describes how the devil makes use of idle hands, meaning when you have little to do, then you are more likely to do something that is wrong. And this is very obvious with young people. When they're bored, they often get up to no good, and they do silly things with no thought of the consequences. Well, we should seek to live lives that will keep us far away from sin and temptation, for this is not something that we want to risk. There is a story of a man who was looking for a new driver for his stagecoach and horses, and there were three candidates who wanted the position. And so the man asked, "If you had to drive my horse and coach around a cliff, how close to the edge do you think you could get?" Well, the first man, he said, "Well, 2 feet." The second man, feeling that bit more confident, he said, "1 foot." The third candidate, he said he would not drive anywhere near the cliff edge. It would be too dangerous. Well, it was the third man that got the job. Likewise with temptation. Do not put yourself in position where you're more likely to fall into temptation. Now, despite our best efforts, temptations will come. But we can learn from Joseph in the Old Testament when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. Joseph's response was to run away. When temptation comes, run away from it. To have the desire to run away, well, you need to have a conscience that knows the difference between right and wrong, so you know how you should respond. Otherwise, you will linger. You will be curious. And that's why we should be praying to God that we would hate sin, that it would not appear enticing, that instead we would demonstrate wisdom that is found in God's word, and then do what is right. The problem with sin is that it's a slippery slope. When you sin once, it becomes much easier to sin the next time. And before you know it, you're deeply involved in sinful behavior. Sin will lead to destruction. I've heard of a technique that the Inuits use in northern Canada to protect themselves from wolves. And they would get a sharp razor blade and they would cover it with blood. And they would freeze that razor blade then. And then once it's frozen, they would cover it again in blood and freeze it. And this process would be repeated a number of times until the end result is this blood ice lolly. And when the wolf comes along and finds this ice lolly, it starts to lick it. And because it's the taste of blood, it will continue to keep licking at it. But in doing so, the wolf's tongue becomes numb. Because of the ice, it loses a sense of feeling. And so as the wolf keeps licking, He cuts himself with the blade. Well, now he gets a taste of warm, fresh blood. And in the ecstasy of that moment, he will keep on licking, unaware of the damage that he's doing to himself. His tongue is soon in shreds, and the wolf bleeds to death. Sin does the same. It leads to destruction. When we give in to sin, we will go further and further until it leads to destruction. This is Satan's chief end, to destroy us. And so this prayer becomes very practical. When the temptation is real, you are to cry out to God. Ask God to give us the strength not to fall into sin. Ask him to rescue you, to help you. And God will help you. The devil wants you to think that you have no choice but only to sin. There's no such thing as an irresistible sin. You can overcome through God's help, no matter how strong the temptation is that you face. Well, finally, Christ was tempted in every way, yet did not sin, for you to triumph over sin. Now, when we consider Jesus Christ, we might be tempted to think, well, he doesn't count. Jesus never sinned. How is this applicable to him? Well, while Jesus never sinned, he was tempted. And he was tempted throughout his ministry. We see it clearly in his temptations in the wilderness, where we read of the devil tempting him three times. But it would be wrong to think that this was the only time in his ministry that he was tempted. No, he faced temptations constantly. That's why there is this rise of demonic activity while Christ was on the earth. Satan was throwing everything at Christ to bring him down, to prevent him from going to the cross. And so the temptations Jesus faced would have been much stronger than we ever have to face. And yet he never fell. He was perfect. He never sinned. He is an example to us when we are tempted. How did he resist the devil? Well, Jesus was praying and fasting when Satan came to him. And in his response to each temptation, Jesus quoted scripture to him. He nullified, he canceled out the temptation. In the garden, when Christ was tempted to not do the Father's will, what did Jesus do? Well, he prayed to God. And these were genuine prayers. You might think Jesus doesn't need to pray this prayer, but he did. Williamson says he did not boast. He was praying with tears and crying. And for this reason, he was able, when he saw that this cup was not to pass from him. Our Lord, in plain words, did not fail in his testing, because he did not fail in his praying. So pray to God and know the promises in God's word. They are a deterrent in being tempted. And so we should copy Christ's example. But Christ is more than an example to us. He is our Savior. For he removed the power of sin in your life. And this he did by taking you from Satan's dominion and bringing you into his own kingdom. His work on the cross defeated Satan. And so the result is you can know victory over sin. You are now secure in Christ. That doesn't mean you don't know temptation. That doesn't mean that Satan is not after you. But it does mean that Satan does not have a hold on you. Through Christ, you can say no to Satan, for Satan has been defeated. In Revelation 9, we read, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.'" Yes, Satan can no longer accuse you. He cannot condemn you because in Christ you are secure. But in the short time that he has, we see what state that he's in. He's angry. He's like a wounded animal that might be as good as dead, and yet in its final state, it's unpredictable. It's dangerous. The devil will use whatever he can to hurt us and defame Christ's glory. He has a short time to do this, and then he will be forever gone. Well, how do we respond? Peter Bolt says, how then do you resist the devil? Not by turning to face him, but by turning to face Christ. Not by engaging directly with him, but engaging directly with Christ and his gospel. We resist him by standing firm, fixing our eyes on Jesus, letting the devil go to his absolute certain fate. If we resist in this Christ-centered way, the promise of the scriptures is so clear and so easy. He will flee from you. He is a defeated enemy. Let's leave him that way and not treat him as if he still has any claim to our lives. So when temptation comes, and it will, we must be ready to do battle with it, depending on God's strength to get through it. But if we do fall, and we will, we have a Savior who will deliver us from evil and give us eternal life. And so pray for God's deliverance from temptation, knowing that Christ did not give in to temptation. And so it is in him that you triumph over the evil one. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are sovereign. You are in control. And as we live in this fallen world, you allow us to be tempted. But Lord, we thank you that you are our Father, and you love us, and you care for us, and you will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And so, Father, help us to see that we are weak, but help us to see that we are strong in you, and that we would depend on your strength. Lord, help us to battle sin. Lord, that we wouldn't be overly confident, that we wouldn't be fearful, but instead, that you would give us the strength to do that. And we thank you for Christ. We thank you that he has defeated sin. We thank you that he has defeated Satan. And so in Christ, we can overcome the power of temptation. And so we thank you for this. And bless us this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn your psalm book to Psalm 142. Psalm 142, the psalmist here is facing trials. What does he do? Well, he cries out to God. And let us do likewise when we face temptation, when we face trials. Let's stand and sing Psalm 142.